Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourself. adversary the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who is it? Steadfast in the faith. Neither give place to the devil. Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who resists the fast in the faith?
Good evening, folks. Hello. Glad to have you here today. We're here the last Friday of the month of September, the 29th of September, 2023, and glad to have you listening and being a part of this live church podcast tonight. The Lord bless you as we begin, and hope that things are growing upward and ever closer to Jesus in your life. Parents and students, we're opening up with some news, and citizens of an all-faith, that's not something I'm going to talk about. What am I doing here? That's not today. Okay. Dianne Feinstein, Dianne Frankenstein, some called her, has died at 90 years old. I wonder if she ever got right with the Lord. Probably not, because she was for everything anti-Christ. So probably she didn't get right with the Lord unless she had some kind of deathbed conversion, which I don't know how she died. But anyway, 95, while we see this going on in New York City, 95-year-old war veteran to has left New York City nursing center, nursing home, to make room for illegal alien. That's right. He has become homeless after his nursing home room was given to an illegal. Well, that is tragic, isn't it? Somebody not even from the country coming in illegally, breaking the laws of the land. And, of course, Biden is a conspirator, you know, co-conspirator with that, because he's letting them break the laws of the land and come in and protecting them, and they break the laws, and taking the room away from a 95-year-old military veteran of the United States, lived there all his life. Wow, that is so sad. An elementary-age girl was indoctrinated into believing that she was a boy by the British Columbia school system in Canada when the dad refused to play ball and play along with this delusion that the school was putting on his dear daughter. Well, they are now, he's facing, the school system put out an order to for prison, to face prison for misgendering his daughter. Well, I think he had the daughter. I mean, she was a girl when she was born. So I don't understand how he's misgendering her. What's on the birth certificate? Well, anyway, this is a crazy society that the devil is trying to create for people to live in. Target is shutting down stores in New York City, Portland, and San Francisco, and Seattle because of shoplifting and crime. Not safe anymore. Not safe for people to go in there, they say, but people are just stealing stuff right and left, so, yeah, they're losing money. Like right here in Billings, I watched a couple of people, a girl and a guy, take a cart full of stolen goods right in front of the store manager, and the store manager did nothing because they've been instructed to do nothing, and they just took it all right out the door, and he just followed them out saying, "Can I help you?" While they stole a whole cart load, I mean a grocery cart, the size they use at TJ Maxx, they took a whole grocery cart, stuffed it in bags as they were walking through the front door and took it all out of there. Wow. And they did nothing. And I was talking to an auto parts store, a national auto parts store, and they said that people can walk out with stuff and they're not allowed to say or do anything about it. So this is not just TJ Maxx, but it's a lot of stores that have been instructed not to do anything when they're being stolen from. And how can businesses stay in business when people are just stealing them, all over the place, and they're not able to arrest them, not able to do anything? That's kind of sad. That's not the way I grew up. People would go to jail for shoplifting. The police would be called. Yeah. Well, Governor Gavin Newsom to force female students to use bathrooms alongside males in K through 12 government school systems, public school systems, you know. That is another ridiculous thing going on. They have no choice in that. If they want to go to the bathroom, they still have to, go in, and might be a boy in there looking at them. I mean, that's pretty bad. No privacy. Border bypass. Biden lets 221,000 plus illegals fly directly into the USA, bypassing the border altogether. This is a little known part of Biden administration GBP, one parole program. It permits inadmissible aliens to make appointments to fly directly to airports in the interior of the United States. So guess what? Illegal aliens coming to a city near you or your city, right? They're flying them in at government expense. Wow. That is amazing. Murder crisis is plaguing the District of Columbus as the mayor, Bowser, female mayor, begs for more police officers after defunding the police. She was a part of defunding the police. Now she's begging for more police officers. Like many Democrat mayors, she blames firearms as the issue, deflecting any possibility that her disastrous social justice reforms only embolden criminals while punishing law-abiding citizens. So what a mess she has on her hands, but she brought it on herself, of course. Major cold trend set to unleash frost freezing threat across eastern United States. Okay, so early freezing, cold trend coming across the eastern United States. What they're saying anyway, that Biden's EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, has spent millions in taxpayer funds on arming itself with military-grade hardware such as advanced combat and reconnaissance equipment. A GOP senator now wants to know why they're being allowed to do that and why they're arming themselves and doing that. That's the Environmental Protection Agency, not a police organization. So they want to know why. He wants to know why this is going on. And that's a good question. Why is it going on? Should it be going on? What's that about? What do they have planned there? Yeah, there's a lot of things going on that is not being brought to the light. And when you find out these things, you wonder, why is that going on? What are they planning to do with that? What is the altogether plans in all this stuff? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I praise the Lord the opportunity to be with you today, and thank God that you're here, and those who listen later, blessing to you as well, and pray that you get blessed with this word that we have to share with you today. I believe it to be something to be a blessing and help you. So we're going to pray this evening as we get started, and I thank those of you who agree with me in prayer, those who pray about these people and things that we pray for here on this broadcast, and I tried to do this confidentially and not give people names, but I do just say there's a woman like that has this situation, or a man with this situation, or a young person with this situation and needs prayer. So again, we want to pray for a particular woman diagnosed with cancer, and we want to pray that she be manifested healing, that the healing will take place, and she will recover from this cancer in Jesus' name. And a man also that has cancer, that we want to pray for him to recover as well. Dear brother, that without healing, he doesn't have long to live. So we pray for his healing as well. So let's pray for those two tonight as well, and just pray that the will of God be done in people's lives. Because a lot of people don't know what the will of God is. So, Lord, we're going to pray tonight that you will do your will in people's life, even when they don't know what the will of God is and they haven't heard anything. But you did say the steps of a righteous person are led by the Lord, or ordered by the Lord. So we're just going to trust that that's what's taking place in all of our lives. As well, people who know the will of God and people who don't know, or people who think they know and may not really know. So let's pray for that also, all right? So let's open up in prayer. Now, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I want to pray for these two dear people that have been diagnosed with cancer. Pray for health and healing in their bodies. We rebuke the cancer in the name of Jesus and command it get out of their bodies in the name of Jesus and dry up and disappear from them. In the name of Jesus, that they will live and not die, in Jesus' name, for your glory, Father. We praise you for that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I pray for divine direction for people, Lord, that you would order our steps, all of us, Lord, when we know the will of God and when we don't know the will of God, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us and your steps, Lord, and that we would be in the perfect and best will of God for each of our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and you would work things out for your glory, for your good, and each of our lives, and we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we'd see you working in our lives in mighty ways. We give you the glory for that, Lord. I bless every listener in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Everyone who listens to the broadcast, both now and later, we ask you to bless and minister to them, encourage them. Pray for a woman that's just desperate for deliverance, that she'll be able to get that deliverance that she is seeking, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray that people do get hungry to receive what you have for them. And when they hunger and thirst, they will be filled, Father. And some people are serious about it. Some people are not really that serious about these things. But I pray that the people of God get thirsty and hungry and get serious about getting more of you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your glory, Father, we thank you for that. And ask you to just continue to bless each one of us and encourage us in the Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, our spirit, and bring that encouragement that we each need, and strengthen us spiritually that we can continue to walk the good walk and fight the good fight of faith, Father, and not grow weary, in Jesus' name. Because we know that in due season we'll reap if we faint not, and we continue on the straight and narrow, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the grace to do that. We ask your blessing on the broadcast tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the angels of the Lord surrounding us and surrounding me, Father, and for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to share these words tonight, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, God is a good God, and he loves us tonight. Amen. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and open up now and get into the Word. Are you ready? I'm ready. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Let's go ahead and step over here and get into this Word, cleaning up the soul. That's the title tonight, Cleaning Up the Soul. Let's go over, start out with the scripture here in a minute. But you know what? People have spirits today, and they need help. And God wants to help people, but people have to want the help, and they have to see that they need the help. And a lot of people simply don't see that they need any help, right? They don't see the condition that they're in. And, you know, the devil, he's in the churches today, and we're a better place for him to want to be, because that's where he could do the most damage to believers, is going into the church. You know, the church is the people of the Lord, and working in the churches and trying to pollute the churches and the people of the church, right? So he's working. And so let's go ahead and start reading here, Luke 9. But God is working too, thank you, Jesus. 9:52, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritan to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem, like the Samaritans didn't like the Jews, you know. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, saying, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. But yeah, they went on to another village, but he did not allow his disciples to call fire down from heaven and burn them all up for rejecting Jesus because he was going to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans don't like the Jews. So I want to tell you something that might surprise you. It's possible to be acting and speaking and living under the influence of evil spirits and not even know it. That's right, because there's a lot of people who are, and we just saw the disciples were. He said, you don't even know what spirit you are of, he told his disciples. And they had walked with Jesus a long time, and they could even recognize when evil spirits were manifesting and working through them. And so is it any wonder that it could be the same with us, that we might not even recognize the spirits that are operating in our lives at times? And even that we are being influenced and under the influence of a spirit when we're saying or doing certain things, because even the disciples were, and they didn't recognize that they didn't know what manner of spirit they were operating under. They didn't recognize that, see? And sometimes we don't know either. And, yeah, I don't care if you walk with the Lord 10, 20 years. It can still happen. That we could be caught, you know, unaware of these spirits that are manifesting as an angel of light or whatever they are trying to do, and then we justify what they're telling us because, well, it sounds right, it sounds biblical, it sounds like it ought to be the right way to do things. And yeah, the disciples must have thought it was, or they wouldn't have said, Jesus, can we call fire down from heaven, you know? But yeah, basically what they were asking, and Jesus said they didn't know that what demons were manifesting in them, through them. And so we often get a flood of feelings come through our minds, and we've all had that, flood of feelings coming through our mind, and we often act on or according to those feelings. But you know what? Those feelings are often greatly influenced by a demonic realm. Because you can't trust your feelings. The Bible didn't say to walk by feelings. The just shall walk by feelings. It says the just shall walk by faith. So faith in what? Faith in the Lord and his word to us, the truth, and not in our feelings. Okay? Because the feelings, we get these feelings. One minute we love somebody, the next minute we're hating them or wanting to do damage to them or something. So we could get these floods of feeling coming through our mind, and we could act on those things. And in that flood of feelings, you know, there are usually hidden spirits operating in those feelings and giving you those feelings in the first place in many cases. And so we need to recognize that and look for, you know, recognize they're looking for a foothold, or they already have footholds in our lives, and they gave you feelings in the first place, so you yield to them so they could have their way with you. So we need to recognize, we need to develop a discernment of spirit to the degree that we recognize what's going on in our feelings and our emotions and our, in fact, the whole soul, the mind, will, and the emotions. We need to recognize what's going on there because, I mean, no, Jesus lives in our spirit, not in our soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. So in this instance, what do we see manifesting here in the disciples? They get even. They want to get even with these people for rejecting Jesus, and they went on to another city, of course, because Jesus didn't want to call fire down on them. And anger was manifesting, and hatred for racial prejudice, of course, for these were the Samaritans, and the Jews and the Samaritans didn't even hardly talk to each other. And so pride was manifesting, racial pride, and pride that they were superior to the Samaritans. The Jews were there, the disciples. And you say, well, it couldn't happen to me. I'm not that way. Well, you know, it could be that you're living in a fool's paradise too, because, hey, look at Peter. He was close to Jesus. And what happened to him? What did he do? I mean, this is the great apostle Peter we're talking about. In Matthew 16:23, he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. And said Jesus unto the disciples, if a man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So why did he say that to Peter? Well, Peter took him in verse 22, it says, then Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Well, why did he say that? Well, because in verse 21, what Jesus said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he might go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And then Peter, you know, started saying, no, no, no. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Then Jesus had to turn around and rebuke the devil, see? Because the devil was talking through Peter. And he was talking directly to the spirit that were talking through Peter. And he was, of course, first used by the Holy Spirit, says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he exalted Jesus and all. But then in the next few moments, he did this. And let an evil spirit talk through him and have his voice box. So he was first blessed by the Holy Spirit to get a revelation that it was Jesus, the Son of God, and then now an evil spirit talking. One moment he was declared by revelation knowledge, Jesus was the Christ. The next moment, what's happening? He was under the influence of the evil spirit. I mean, so can we. I mean, if it could happen to Peter, then it could happen to us. So we need to be on guard and test the spirits. The Bible says test the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. So we need to test the spirits, folks. Test the spirits. I mean, his leading disciple became an instrument of Satan. One translation renders it, Lord, have pity on yourself. In other words, Peter was attempting to correct Jesus and induce self-pity in his life, where Jesus would feel sorry for himself about what was going to happen. Oh, yeah, well, self-pity is a sneaky little devil, isn't it? Yeah. And so evil spirits always attempt to get people to feel sorry for themselves. If they get away with it, they will do that. So this alerts us that even strong believers can have spirits operating through them. So we need to be on guard in our lives to recognize that the enemy could very quickly be using us if we're not on guard, see? So this is what happened with Peter. He was not on guard, and the enemy just took right on in there and started messing with him. And Jesus had to rebuke directly the spirit that was talking through Peter. And we know that many times we're carrying on conversations with demons and people when we talk to people, because it's not even them talking. It's just like this situation with Peter. It was a spirit talking through Peter. And sometimes we carry on conversation with people where it's not even the people themselves talking. It's a spirit talking, using their voice box, talking through them. Well, of course, we hear that too when we're doing deliverance. We hear spirits talking through people sometimes and using the voice box of the human. And so why would that be any wonder that it happens in conversations with people as well? Of course, it does. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go read another scripture here. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So what do we see here happening? You know, Paul had been warned by several people not to go to Jerusalem, not to go there because the prison problems awaited him there. He'd been warned by even the Spirit of God not to go there repeatedly. as we see in Acts 21:4. Let's go read that. Acts 21, verse 4. It says, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, see, that's Spirit with a capital S, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. See, Paul had been warned. He'd been warned more than once, okay? We see it again in 10 and 11 here of the same chapter. And we tarried there many days. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, and when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him in the hands of the Gentiles. And of course, they besought him in the next verse not to go up to Jerusalem, and yet he was determined. The Bible said he was bound to go, which is, I'll talk about that in a minute, because it wasn't the Holy Spirit binding him to go. And no matter how much they pleaded with him, Paul said, I'm going. And then it says here in 22 that I go bound, right? 2022, that's right, 2022, not the year, the verse. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing, and in the Spirit wasn't capital S, it was bound in his own desires, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Okay? So, that word deo is bound. In the Greek, and it means tied, it means a binding in his spirit, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't say go. The Holy Spirit said don't go. And Paul says, I'm going. And we've done the same thing to God. You know, God has tried to warn us not to do something. Okay, but we went ahead and did it anyway. But, you know, is God schizophrenic? No, he's not. If he tells one thing, he's not going to contradict it a few minutes later with a prophet. So if God had truly told Paul to go up, why would he send two prophets to prophesy and told him not to go up to Jerusalem, see? Yeah. And so we've done the same thing. We've been warned, and then we try to justify something that we want to do. Well, God, really, that wasn't God telling me that. That's probably the devil. Yeah, something was binding Paul, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit, okay? And so here he is. He's determined to go. Right? Just like, you know, something presses us on sometimes, determined to get us into trouble, and we sometimes do something we wish we hadn't have done. We've all done that, haven't we? Done things we wish we hadn't have done. We participated in things we didn't thought it was all right, but it wasn't all right. And so God took the mistake, and he redeemed it, worked it out, and got him to Rome anyway, because he was supposed to go to Rome to the Gentiles and to witness in Rome. But God got him there, worked it out, but got him to Rome anyway, but it was as a prisoner and not a free man. He could have gone, you know, as a free man. He could have just obeyed the Lord and went on to Rome. How much better it would have been for this great apostle of the Gentiles to, you know, have went to Rome under his own freedom and authority rather than under guard as a prisoner. Yeah, he, after all, the Bible says he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Why is he going back to the Jews again in Jerusalem? Well, it's something he wanted to do. He just thought he was going to be able to convince them, but he couldn't, and they instead wanted to kill him. And except for the grace of God, he didn't get killed because they had a plan to, people had vowed a vow that they were not going to rest or whatever till they killed Paul. Well, sometimes we get to do the will of God, but what are we carrying, you know, when we, you know, could have gone without carrying the junk? I mean, he was carrying bonds. He was carrying, you know, chains. He was a prisoner. And what are we the prisoner of sometimes when, you know, we go and do our thing and then we finally get to do, you know, will of God, but not the way the Lord had wanted us originally to do it either. Okay? And so when we don't have the peace of God about an action, it's better to put it on hold or cancel than to stubbornly go ahead and do it. You hear what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. A good rule is if you're in doubt, don't do it. I mean, you know, if you have doubt about something, just don't do it. I mean, really. Paul just was determined to do what he wanted, and he'd overrid the prophets. He didn't pay attention to them. He went on anyway. and said, I'm bound to go. Well, can the Christian be under the influence of spirits and be inhabited by them? Well, you know, does a duck swim? Of course it can. And, of course, that's why we do a lot of things that we do that are not the best things for us, because we've been under the influence of a spirit, and we act according to what they want rather than what the Holy Spirit is really wanting, because we're not listening to the still small voice. We're listening to the loud voice of in our own mind that are masquerading as us, when it's really the enemy trying to get us in a mess, get us in trouble. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, it says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So what's happening here, they had received the Holy Spirit, were born again, yet Paul speaks of the possibility of them receiving another spirit, you know, which of course there's not another Holy Spirit, you know, it's going to be demonic, right? That's what's happening here. And they receiving another spirit that operating under another spirit here, which would be a devil. And being warned about that. And yet, how many really listen to all the warnings in the Word of God? How many do that really? I would dare say the percentage is rather small, because most of us learn things the hard way instead of the easy way. Look at James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, which war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. Okay, so there's a little bit of a rebuke going on here. Strife in the church, control wars in the churches, lust for the things of the world, lust for power, lust for attention, lust for, you know, people have that attention-getting spirit. They want to be noticed. They want to be, you know, have attention. And so they want it from other Christians, if they are a Christian. Not only from other Christians, they'll sometimes take it from the world if they can get their attention. But this happens in the church. I mean, this is coming from an evil spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit doesn't lust, kill, and envy, and backbite, and slander. So this ought to tell us something. This is a reference to another spirit that causes and is the author of evil desires. See, many things are going on in people that aren't of God. You do know that, right? I mean, in other brothers and sisters, that there are many things going on in their lives that are not God, and they're not from God. And people need to be aware of that, and they need to test the spirits, right? Test the spirits, whether they're of God or not. So we need to be aware of this, these things going on. It can be such strong drives in a person that they may be a willingness to even kill in order to satisfy this desire. And yeah, kill our brothers and sisters, maybe not literally, but, you know, you slander, you backbite them, you hurt them, you run over them, you step on them, you lie about them, you gossip about them, get even with them and control, you know, them. And, you know, so, yeah, in a sense, you're ministering death to them by this. And cursing them. So it's not a good thing. And the sad thing about it is some even blame God for it. The Lord told me such and such has a bad spirit, so we shouldn't be around them, or we shouldn't do, you know, pray for them, or we shouldn't have nothing to do with them, and they're bad, you know. Really? You know, what about your own life, Bill? We all have stuff wrong with us. What about us? Let's talk more about strong drives in your life. You know, do you have a drive? What is this strong drive thing driving you? Have you examined it? What drive do you have? Are you sure they're from God? See, Jesus doesn't drive us. He leads us. The Bible says he's going to lead us beside the still waters. He's going to lead us in the pathways of righteousness. So if you're being driven for something, you know, so I'm just driven to do this. Well, it's probably a demonic spirit, okay? Because God isn't driving his people. He's not a slave master. See, some people are driven to prophesy. Oh, I've just got to give a prophecy or else I just don't feel like I've obeyed God. I feel like I'm not obeying God. Well, I'll tell you about somebody in a minute about that felt like they had to obey God. Yeah, the pressure to perform is usually a religious spirit. Pressure to do anything is often a spirit anyway. When you've got this pressure, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I just have to do this. I just have to say this to somebody, or I have to do this thing. You know, really, where is that coming from? If Jesus wants you to do something, he isn't going to force you to do it. You have to understand that about him. He will lead you to do it. He will deal with your spirit about it. He may even convict you about it, but he's not going to force you, drive you, or dog you to do it. If you're doing that, if that's going on in your life, I tell you, that's not the Holy Spirit, okay? That's not Jesus. That's something else trying to drive you into something. Because the Holy Spirit is not a dove, you understand that, but he is gentle, he is loving, he's pure in motive, he can be grieved, he's not forceful, yet he is powerful. But that is the Holy Spirit. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. The nature of God is the nature of the Holy Spirit. And demon spirits, they are forceful, and they are oppressive and aggressive and demanding and driving and harsh, and they appear like God. They try to appear as God. Only that they're louder than God speaks, and you better or else they'll tell you, you're going to miss God. You don't do what we're telling you to do, you know, what I'm telling you to do, and they're deceiving. They will deceive a person into thinking that it's God when it isn't God. So we need to test the spirits again. I'm telling you, test. And so, yeah, many times Christians come under a spell or a trick, a wile of the evil beings, and think that they're doing or acting in God's plan when really all they've done is give place to the devil. And the Bible says neither give place to the devil. And so I remember there was a lady who just felt God was talking to her in one of our churches years ago, not here in the Billings Church, but there was in another church in another state, and who was convinced that God had told her some things. And then she came up afterwards, apologized, and told me she failed to obey God because God had told her that if she would go up in front of the whole congregation in the middle of me preaching and go up to me and kiss me on the forehead right between the eyes, God said he would set everybody free in the service. Well, you know what? I'm kind of glad she failed to obey God. Even though we know it wasn't God, she failed to obey the so-called voice of God. I'm glad she didn't, but she was sincere, man. She was sure she heard God tell her that, sincere, but sincerely wrong, because that wasn't God. I knew. I didn't bear witness to that. And come to find out later that she had some stuff going on in her life that was not right anyway, and she was doing things outside of church and that were not good things, okay? So anyway, not everybody who's convinced that God's telling them something is really hearing God. So we need to be aware of that and test things and put them before the Lord and make sure that, and test them by the word too. You know, the word of God is a good tester too, I think. And the word of God will truly, any word that we get will stand up to the word of God if it's from God, but if it's not, it won't. I remember another lady, she was just convinced that her recently died mother was visiting her from the dead. It was her dead mother showing up in her bedroom at night. And God was doing that for her as a gift because she had lost her mother. And I'm sorry she lost her mother, and I was certainly sympathetic with her about that, but I did feel like I needed to tell her the truth, that it was not her mother, and it was a demon and not God, and she didn't handle that truth very well. But, you know, the Bible clearly tells us, when we see the rich man and Lazarus, there's a gulf between the living and the dead that you cannot pass between, it says there. And so nobody's going to come back from the dead. See, that's what they do in these seances. They get the, you know, they call up the dead and they have the dead talk to a person in the room. And sure, the demons know all about the dead person, so why would anybody be convinced it is the dead person talking to them? They want to believe that because they love their loved one. They love the departed one. But why would you think that the devil wouldn't know exactly what to say to you to get through to you and make you be deceived? See, because the Bible clearly tells us, see, if we can't base it on the Word of God, then we can't believe it. We can't act accordingly to that thing that we have heard or seen or feel like we're hearing. So, yeah, we told her the truth that it was not God, and she just didn't want to hear that, of course, and she left the church. Because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe, and that was the case with her. She wanted to believe what she wanted to believe, and she didn't care if we showed her out of the Bible something. We didn't care. She didn't care if we showed her the truth, because she wanted to believe that was her mama. And that'd be just great if that was her mama, but it wasn't her mama, you know. And so she was consorting with an evil spirit there who was masquerading as her mama. And I've had people tell me this before, you know, this is not the first time that this has happened to people who lost a loved one, their wife, their husband coming to them at nighttime and visiting them and talking to them and having conversations with them after they die. And I've had to say this to more than one person about, you know, this situation about there's a gulf between that cannot pass between. So, hey, don't tell me the devil isn't working in the church people, in the churches. I mean, really, it's his playground. Too many spirit-filled believers want to put their heads in the sand about, you know, about this and a whole lot of other things. So we need to be on guard about this and not just take anything and say, oh, God's talking to me. Well, you better make sure he's got talking. You better test those spirits and make sure. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. Let's read that, 2:24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. By whose will? The devil's will. See, some people are taken captive by the devil's will, and they are opposing themselves. Notice it says they oppose themselves. Yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're opposing themselves to spirits that are working in them. And many Christians are that condition, and they're brought into captivity at the will of their demons. And rebellion, resentment, and rejection are the three big ones, three big enemies. And so there are also three relievers for the three big enemies, which is repentance and renouncement of the spirits, of course, and then the relief of those spirits through deliverance. So repentance and or, you know, confession of wrong attitudes and actions, which are often caused by, you know, being in agreement with demons, because a lot of people do get in agreement with these things because they think it's part of them, and so they just get in agreement with it, and therefore they're in a condition of being in agreement with demons rather than agreement with God. And many times their actions are caused by being in agreement with the demons, okay? And so if you want to get delivered, then you're going to have to renounce those things as well as repent for that and then get the relief through deliverance, see? And you need to renounce being in agreement with those if you have been in agreement with demons. And I think we've all been in agreement with demons at some point in our life over some subject matter, over something. And so we just have to recognize that, hey, you know, sin is common to all of us. We've all listened to things that were not God, not the Holy Spirit. So, and realize that, hey, it's not that, you know, that oh, we're such a horrible person because we have. It's just because we got deceived, and everybody has been at some point in life, in some area of their life. Okay? So it's okay that we admit that, yeah, okay, I was deceived. Now I'm going to get rid of this mess. rid of this lie. We're going to get rid of this deception. So we got to get out of agreement with our deceptions. And many fail to do that because they don't want to get out because of their pride. I mean, and a lot of people fail to get delivered even after a lot of sessions in deliverance because, you know, there's never been more than a superficial show of repentance and confession of it. And maybe they really haven't forgiven either the persons who've done them wrong, their family wrong, whatever. There needs to be a real turning away, confession, repentance from that. Okay, because it's not going to be the lasting freedom that they could have. See, until the true condition is admitted, and we don't like to admit our condition if our condition isn't quite right. We don't want to admit our condition. We don't want to face our condition, see? Oh, yeah. We might not like to face our condition. We might not want to face these things. Yeah, you have to really go after deliverance and be determined to get delivered if you're going to get delivered, okay? And a lot of people, you know, they don't want to be completely honest with themselves, and they don't want to make a confession of their stubborn pride and their control and their disobedience, their unforgiveness and their rebellion and their stubbornness. I mean, we don't like admitting those things. Let's face it, man. We don't like it. We don't want to do it. And we don't like to just humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and just become, as a child in our faith toward Him. And, oh, yeah, recognizing the truth about our person, you know, ourselves, that is, paved the way for our freedom. And so until we're able to, you know, face the truth about ourselves, it's kind of hard to get free, fully free. And if you won't face yourself, the truth is you won't get fully free. You won't get free to the degree that you could get free, see? And evil spirits, they laugh, they mock, they declare that the church is often, controlled and guided by a bunch of demons, because that is the case in a lot of cases. It is, and so they're not lying in that sense, but it's not fully controlled by demons. The Holy Spirit is there too, and God is working in His church because He loves His people, and people are listening to the Holy Spirit too, and they're trying to obey by the power of the Spirit, see? The real troubles of people will never be solved by the religious stuff. Religious garbage, religious devil served out to us as solutions, and all the self-help books that people read all the time trying to get relief from the demonic instead of just casting out the devil, see? Because a lot of the people just fail to admit the reality of the demonic infestations in their lives, and so they reject the truth that a Christian can have a demon, so they reject that truth. And so what happens? They don't walk in the true freedom that's available in Christ. I mean, deliverance is an important answer, but like, you know, taking a bath, you have to, have to wash yourself with a washcloth and soap in order to really get yourself clean. Because you could run the water on you and not get clean. So bath is more than just running water on your body. You got to apply soap. And Jesus told us to cast out demons, not just entertain demons and try to subdue them to medicate them. And that's what a lot of people do. They're medicating themselves. They're going to psychiatrists, getting prescriptions for, you know, these little things that they take that medicate the demons, subdue them a little bit, but it doesn't get rid of them. And so when Jesus cast out demons, there were visible manifestations. And there will be visible manifestations in us too, so don't be embarrassed. Well, just like the dogs and cats, if they're outdoors, they have fleas and they have mites, and all people have demons. You know, if you sin, they do anyway. And so if you've ever sinned, then you have demons, right? I mean, that's just a fact of life. If we've sinned, then we have demons. So let's not live in denial, folks. And not let Satan deceive us. Oh, I don't have that. I don't have none of that. Well, maybe you do. Listen, we live in a dark world today, and the darkness is a very prevalent force in this world, and we need to recognize that this darkness is, you know, not just in one or two places. It's all over the world. I mean, we're living in a world of darkness. We're living in a world of death, spiritual death and darkness, and even physical death, too. I mean, this is a dark place. The world is an ungodly place because, you know, the devil is the god of the world system in which we are placed in at birth. And so we recognize the forces at work here, and it'll help us if we do. We're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. Matthew 7:13-14, it says here, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which goeth thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's just face it, there be few there be that find the way of righteousness. And the Bible is saying that hell enlarges itself in these latter days. In other words, there's so many people going there that it gets so big, it's growing. Yeah, they're just making room for all the people that are choosing to reject Jesus Christ. And that is a sad, sad thing. So demons and Satan have done an effective job to keep the population blind. The people of earth, isn't it amazing that you see people that are so blind? And it seems like, how can they not see what you see? How can they not see the truth when you even shared it with them and they still just don't seem to see it? What is the matter here? Why don't they see this, you think? Because, hey, I see it. It's so clear. Why can't they see it? What's going on with people today? Well, you know, there's a veil over their eyes, a demonic veil. And it's only through the conviction and the reality of the Holy Spirit removing that and opening up the eyes of their understanding will they ever be able to see until, you know, eternity, where they go before the judgment and realize that, boy, they made a mistake. They rejected Christ. They did. Few there be that find it, not the majority. The majority is not saved, and everybody's not going to heaven, and all dogs don't go to heaven either, and it's just not the case, folks. It's just not the case, and we want to, in fact, we have pets over the years. We love our pets, but the Bible says that the animals, they go back to the earth from whence they came. It doesn't say that, you know, I'm not saying that your favorite pet might not be, you know, somehow God put it in heaven with you, but that's not what the Bible says about animals. But still, you never know what God would do in eternity, because some people just love their pet like a human, and they're convinced that pet's going to be with them in heaven, and they might be right. But they might be wrong, too, because the Scripture's not saying that your pet will be in heaven. But, you know, God has a lot of surprises for us, too, so we'll just see. But anyway, I'm not going to you say yay or nay on that one because, people get offended on that one real easily. So feel-good gospel full of easy believism. I mean, everybody's saved. Everything's going to heaven. You know, hey, that's just not the case, folks. Most people are going to bust hell wide open. That's just the case of the humanity today that we see around us. Most people are living in spiritual blindness, and they're controlled and manipulated and kept in darkness by demons. And the sad fact is they've made their choice. Not that they can't choose Jesus. They can't. They still have a chance. As long as they're breathing and walking the face of planet Earth or alive on planet Earth, they could make a choice. But a lot of them, they've rejected Christ so many times. And they're probably never going to receive him. Yeah, a lot of them, they made their choice, really, and they're going to remain that way. But, hey, pray, saints, and believe God and see what the Lord will do, okay? If it's a loved one, definitely don't let go of the altar for those people and keep on crying their name out before God and binding those demons that have blinded them. Yeah. Oh, that people could see the truth, that hell is real, and they could see the ugliness of Satan and his cohorts, his spirits of darkness. And oh, that people's eyes would be open to the spirit realm, if they could just see into the spirit realm what darkness is really like. I mean, look at the rich man and Lazarus. So you say, oh, Lazarus, you could dip your head in a little water and take it, relieve me from this torment, and go tell my family what warn them. And, you know, God told them, you know, there's a gulf between you, can't pass. But, you know, even if, he did raise from the dead and went back and told them, you know, they would receive it because they have the prophets and they have things, and they don't receive that. So, anyway, that's kind of what happened there. I remember the exact story. I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, help us, Lord, to be used to open people's eyes to the real spiritual realities of the dark, that we could see these things. You know, that you could just see into the spirit realm and begin to see these things that, I mean, what's really going on there, that that we could bring people out, hating even the garment stained by the death and the darkness and hell, but we pull them out of the grips of Satan and bring them to salvation through the Holy Spirit. But that's, I mean, this is real, folks. People today are in real bondage, not just play bondage. They're in real bondage today. And not just in the world, but in the church. And these demons trouble and torment and torture and abuse believers. In fact, they, you know, they debilitate believers and they wreck their lives and they steal, kill, and destroy them. And they block their spiritual progress and they bring destruction and harass believers today. And it's sad to see this going on, and I've watched it for years, especially when they don't believe in deliverance and they don't confront the enemy and they don't do spiritual warfare. I mean, we need to learn there and recognize this is a war on me, and there's a war on the saints, there's a war on my brothers and sisters, and we need to learn to effectively fight back with our full God-given authority today, amen? The full authority of heaven. And the angels is behind us and backing us up. So what do we have to be afraid of? Fear not, the Bible says. And God did give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So we do win if we will engage the enemy forces and fight the good fight. Amen. We shall prevail. We shall triumph through Christ Jesus. He calls us to triumph in all things through Christ Jesus. So what are you doing? Will you get involved in this? And one way is spiritual warfare. Another way is deliverance, which, you know, includes spiritual warfare. So let's take some ground from the enemy. Amen. Let's engage the enemy and take away the ground that he has in our lives. Let's expose him. Let's get rid of the ground that he's taken and stolen from us. You know, the thief has come and he does what a thief does. He robs, he steals, he destroys. That's what the thief is doing. So what are we doing about the thief, see? What are you doing about the thief that has been robbing you all your life? Are you demanding back what has been stolen from you, or are you just putting up with it and just assuming you're defeated in that area? No, no. Take back what the devil stole from you. Amen? Amen. In fact, you know, that's what we're doing by even bringing forth truth. We are disturbing the devils within people, stirring them up and making them uncomfortable. I like to make the enemy uncomfortable, and then I like to get them out. And often it's very necessary to make them uncomfortable in order to get them ready to come out, you know, to shake things up, right, to shake them up in there. So, you know, they're not comfortable being in that house anymore, what they think is their house. Pointing the truth at them and speaking the truth can strike fear into those devils. Fear of their end and of their future and of being cast out. They're reminded that they don't have the authority they'd like to think they have. They don't have the power they'd like to think they have when people start speaking truth and the power of the Holy Spirit at them. There's fear of their, you know, they're in, you know, and that they're going to be cast out. Their security is threatened. I mean, they expected to stay in their host, their house, until Jesus came or the person died, you know, whichever. So they're threatened. Yeah. And so we need to let them get threatened. We need to threaten them. We need to let them know the truth. See? That's right. We need to stop them and say, you know, they probably say to you, stop that. Stop that. You're making me uncomfortable, if you could hear them talking. Turn off, Pastor Kyle. Quit reading that deliverance book. Quit listening to that truth. Quit. Stop. You know, and distractions come for a reason. Yeah. They come for a reason. So often we are being distracted from the things that really matter in life. And what's that about? You know, what is going on here? We're being distracted. You know, we need to renounce spirits and refuse them the right to keep on doing what they've been doing for so long in us that we're so used to it that we don't know any other way of living. And we need to find a new way of living, you know, like the song, I Found a New Way of Living. Yeah, it's in Christ. We found a new way, and God has made a new way, and he provided the children bread. So, you know, if it's a spirit of fear, start quoting and applying 2 Timothy 1:7. Like I said a minute ago, for God not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Start quoting that to them. Get them all upset, and then start casting them out, or get somebody else to cast them out. For God's not giving me. Say it over and over. This is a war, and the enemy must be weakened and then removed. Some believers, instead of weakening the enemy, yield so easily to the enemy and actually strengthen those devils that are within them by continuing to do their bidding, whatever they want, no resistance at all, hardly. Yeah, when the lust spirit starts manifesting its personality, so the person just gets in agreement and starts lusting. You know, they just let that spirit of lust give them the feelings and give them the, you know, the actions that, you know, are lustful actions. Whatever that lustful action is. Or to lie, because the spirit of lying and liar is wanting to express itself. And the way they express themselves is through a human being, through their host. They're like parasites. Eating away at their host, eating away on the inside of us and expressing their nature. Yeah, to destroy our bodies. Yeah, to not forgive because the spirit of unforgiveness is manifesting and working through and in a person, and the person expresses the nature of the spirits. There's another area many Christians simply don't get it and don't realize. The many spirits that are involved in this area, and I want to expose that, and working in and through many Christians, there's a huge difference, folks, you need to understand between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, okay? Huge difference, okay? Many demons are working here in this area. They're unresisted, and they're uncontended with. They're not confronted. Let's talk about this a minute, because there's some things that need to change in a lot of believers because they're trying to live under an old covenant God, and we don't have an old covenant God anymore, even though he's the same God, but he's changed in the way he deals with people, see. You know, I prayed with some people one time, one week, and I was so sad for them and for the whole church, because that was kind of going to fad right then, and they're starting up some of that again, and they were repenting for all the sins of our fathers, asking God to spare us from judgment, and praying, oh, please forgive us. Oh, so the curse doesn't land on us. Folks, that's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. Oh, we need to make up our, you know, our mind, you know, you know, that we're cursed. Because of the sins of our fathers, we need to repent for their sins. And oh, what are we going to do? Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Covenant, Old Covenant, Old Covenant. You need to know, man, are you the righteous in Christ, or are you're not the righteous in Christ? And if you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then live like the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us to repent for the sins of our fathers. No, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Does that mean grandpa and grandma too? No, their destiny is already determined. Can you repent for them? Can you change their, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment? No, you can't change their destiny. You can't change what they, you know, decided whether to follow Christ or not. You know? Don't, you can't do that. It's already determined that they're dead. They're gone. They're with Jesus or with the, you know, other place. So here's another one Christians pray. And, again, this is the Old Covenant. It's talking about the New Testament temple. I mean, the Old Testament temple in Second Chronicles. And they take it and use it and, as a New Testament scripture when it's not. Okay? And, again, what does the Bible say about the Old Covenant? We have a better covenant now. Therefore, the old one is passing away. We better remember these things. And we're trying to go back under this and make this the law for the New Testament, and it's not. This was Old Testament. Okay, see, this is what was happening here. And the Lord in 2 Chronicles 7, first we'll start at verse 11. Solomon finished the house of the Lord, the temple, you know, he's building. And the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prospered effected. He prosperedly effected and the, prosperously. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever and my eyes, my heart shall be there perpetually. Of course, we know that it wasn't in that place forever, but that's the way they used, the language they used in that day, and this is the way they wrote it. But it's not, wasn't forever because we have a better covenant now. And there's, that is just a type of a heavenly temple, which is based on the blood of Jesus, not the blood of bulls and goats. The Bible says the blood of bulls and goats could never wash away your sin, but yet they use this scripture all the time that, oh, if our lamb would just do this, you know. This is just a confirmation of the old covenant in the old covenant temple. And there's no more house of sacrifice here, okay? There's no more house of sacrifice. And yet, you know, it says here, you know, that sacrifice, right? That it's not a house of sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. This is conditional forgiveness here. Okay? This is conditional, not New Testament, unconditional love and forgiveness. God related to these Old Testament people totally different, a whole different way. And yet demons have invaded with religious and legalistic spirits today. And it's trying to get people to keep old covenant, see? And Paul had to say, who bewitched you? Because they were going back under the law when they had been set free from the law. And they were going back under it, see? I mean, about all those books on repentance and beating ourselves down, you know, all they've done is bring us under more Old Testament and more legalism and open up a door for more demons of condemnation and guilt and torment, mental torment, you know. I'm so grieved that New Testament Christians keep writing and reading books that bring people back under the Old Covenant rather than let them live in the New Covenant and bring forth the truth of the relationship that we now have that they could never have under the old covenant because of the law. Christ hasn't came yet, see? The Bible says that there was a covenant of death, not a covenant of life. The old covenant was, it says in 2 Corinthians, that it was a covenant of death, not a covenant. They bring life. Okay? And so here we are, you know, The old covenant is trying to actually, the demons are using it to try to separate us from the new covenant. Let's go to Galatians 3. Let's read a few things here that just try to explain this a little better because a lot of demons are involved in this area of legalism and religion and old covenant. And we got the Hebrew roots movement that's trying to go and live just like they did under the old covenant when we were never commanded to do that, okay, as a new covenant Christian. Galatians 3:2. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? here they are going back under the law. You know, it's like he said in verse 1, oh, foolish Galatians, which I quoted, who had bewitched you. He called it a bewitching. When you go back under the law, after you've been saved by grace, which came, grace and truth came by Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, the law came by Moses. Okay? So if you're going back under work, you're opening yourself to all kinds of demons, okay? We do good work, don't get me wrong. We do good work, but we do it by the Spirit of the Lord, like Jesus did. He did it, I do what I see my Father do. We do good work, though, not to earn our way. We don't do them to earn our way. We do them because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of a Christian's life. It's not earning our way. Like under the old covenant, they do good work, you know, because they wanted points and they wanted to, you know, not be condemned and, you know, killed and all this stuff because of sin in their life. And, because God was an angry God. That's the way they saw him, see? They couldn't receive Jesus because Jesus didn't come as an angry God. Anyway, you got born again and began your Christian walk by faith, and now you're made perfect by fleshly works, Paul said, by beating yourself and repenting for all the sins of everybody else in your nation and weeping for your forefathers and their failures and going back and paying black people money because somebody in the past made slaves out of them. Some of your forefathers did that. Hey, that's their problem, folks, and they're already facing, you know, they're going to face their judgment. They're going to face all that if they rejected Christ. Really? They're going to face it? Look, verse 5, Galatians 3, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Which one is it? It's by the hearing of faith, folks, not by the works of the law, the way it happened in the Old Testament. How does God minister to us? By working for it or by believing God and taking him at his word in faith? See, that's how he does it. Look, Abraham lived before the law, before the covenant was given. Even verse 6 here. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed with Abraham when we walk by faith in God's grace. Notice, blessed with Abe, not cursed, because Abraham was before the old covenant came into existence. And it was just by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So what brings the curse? Well, I'll tell you what brings the curse. Look at verse 10 here. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So what brings you under the curse? Going back under the law, joining the Hebrews roots movement and trying to keep the law, do all the everything just perfect and keep it without every jot and tittle of the law, not break anything. You bring yourself under curse. Why would you want to do that? The devils want you there. Why would you want to give the devils what they want? The works of the law, the works of the old covenant brought death. It was a covenant of death, not a covenant of life. We can read that, 2 Corinthians. Go back and I'll show you that it was a covenant of death, not a covenant of life. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I mean, is it 4 or 3? Let me see. Yeah, chapter 3. But if verse 7, read this. I mean, listen, let's start at verse 6, who made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the law, but of the Spirit. For the law killeth, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was glory, was to be done away, see? And so notice, what was the ministration of death? It was that which was written and engraven in stones. What was written and engraven in stones, everybody? You know what was written and engraven in stones. It was the Ten Commandments, okay? So how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious if the old covenant was glorious? How much more should the ministration of the Spirit be glory, because verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, that's the law, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory, for even that which was made glory had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Okay, so very clear here, that which was done away. Okay, the law has been done away as a means of righteousness. And why do Christians keep going back under the law? Because demons lead them to go back under the law. So because they know they can trap them there and bring condemnation and guilt and shame into their life and torment them and bring all these demons in them as legalistic spirits that they can never measure up to what God wants, because under the law you never could measure up. None of them could. They never could. That's why we had to have a better covenant, because now we measure up by Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. That's how we measure up. It's not our own righteousness. All our righteousness is worthless. It's filthy rags. It's no good. But his righteousness made us able to measure up and be, you know, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the gift of salvation, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works as a means of righteousness has been done away with, okay? Not that the word of God has been done away with. It hasn't been done away. The Ten Commandments remain as a way to know that you are a sinner. They bring conviction. Yeah, it shows us that, man, you couldn't keep it. No way you could keep it. Nobody ever has kept it except Jesus. And so you know you're a sinner by looking at the law, because it will show you that you haven't been able to do it, and those who try to do it can never do it, okay? So anyway, thank you, Jesus. Abraham did go around repenting for the sins of his fathers and worrying about the curse coming on him and his land. He was blessed coming in and coming out, okay? So he didn't do that, okay? He didn't need to do that, and you don't need to do that either. The Spirit of God brings life and peace. The old covenant brought death. It was a ministration of death, as we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's very clear there. I mean, really, you could try to scratch that out of your Bible like a lot of the Hebrew roots. They say Paul wasn't of God. You know, a lot of the Hebrew roots says his epistles really weren't supposed to be part of the Bible, and Paul wasn't of God. Well, I don't agree with that at all, okay, because we know that God made sure that his word was kept together, what he wanted of it together, okay? All right. Okay, the opposite of death and always bearing the penalty of breaking old covenant laws, you know, is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, right? Not living and just waiting for your next punishment because God punishing you for your sin. No, no, Jesus bore the punishment on the cross. And living in fear that God won't be pleased. When you live under the old covenant, that's the way people live. Abraham, of course, didn't live that way because he hadn't come yet. The old covenant hadn't come yet. Okay? So he was blessed. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Let's read on here, because this is powerful stuff where a lot of demons have a lot of Christians in bondage today. 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Somebody had to be made a curse so that we don't be the curse anymore and bear the curse anymore. Well, Jesus became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through, not the law, but through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what did Christ do? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The penalty of breaking the law. And we need to apply this scripture to our lives, our property, you know, and receive the results in verse 14. You know, Paul's so frustrated with them. They've been reading too many John Dawson books instead of Paul's epistles, really. You know, no, but, you know, that was the guy who really always telling us to repent for the sins of the forefathers and all that. No, no, no. You know, if they didn't repent for their sin, they're in hell, right? If they didn't turn to Christ, they're in hell. Genesis 4:7. I better hurry up here. I'm going to run out of time. So much to share on this one. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. Well, look, you're the very sons of God, not a slave any longer. Slaves were cursed, and they lived under the curse, and sons are not. But you have to believe these truths and apply them for it to work in your life. People today are laboring to be under the law, the old covenant law, rather than laboring to enter into God's rest, spoken about in Hebrews chapter 4, and blessing. Okay? And so we need to recognize, I'm sorry, I meant to read Galatians 4:7, not Genesis 4:7. Let's go read Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay, through Christ, see? Through Christ. And now let's read verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You observe days, which means Sabbath keeping. You observe days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Okay, he's a little frustrated with them because they were just, you know, trying to go back under the old covenant when they got saved by grace through faith. You know, I'm afraid of you lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain, he says. Oh, I did all this for in vain? Did I really? Now we're known of God as his sons and a joint heir with Christ. And yet, you know, we want to go back and make it all an external thing, keeping Sabbath days, feast days, old covenant laws, old covenant living, old covenant prayers, old covenant actions. Do you really want old covenant results today? Is that what you really want? You know, under the old covenant, man, people were dying all the time. The earth opened up and swallowed up Korah. You know, this person died and had his eyes gouged out. I mean, these are old covenant results, and kings were punished, and all this stuff went on because Jesus hadn't bore their punishment yet. See? And we want to go back and make it all that way? To be weak and live under the weak and beggarly elements of the world? I mean, that word element is Stoichion in the Greek, and it means the elementary, the ABC principles of the Old Testament, the first principle, the Old Covenant lifestyle. That's what it means. People of God, too much of what we do is done under the Old Covenant type of mentality and thinking. Listen, the Son is free. We are free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay? We need to wake up to the reality of a new covenant living. Why take the yoke of bondage on yourself? Again, why go back under it? It's speaking of the law. The yoke of bondage is speaking of the law. Look at verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, the slave woman, the servant woman. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. See, us who are born again, see? It's above. We're living from that which is above, not from that which is beneath. See? Do you see that? Our home is spiritual, not physical. We're in bondage to no one unless we allow that to take place through our ignorance or through willfully. And, of course, Satan will certainly, you know, put you under bondage if you yield to him. But notice the original, there is no chapter division here in the original Greek. There was no chapter division between chapter 4 and chapter 5. So let's read 4:31, and then let's go read chapter 1 of 5. I mean, verse 1 of 5 and verse 31 of 4. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Do you get that? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is going back under the law, okay? That's what it is talking about right here. So, the yoke of bondage is Hagar, or living under the old covenant. Like if, you know, instead of living, you know, like you really should be living, been born from above, living as a free person. And the practice of liberty is love and faith, which worketh by love. Faith worketh by love, not by works. Okay? Now, faith without action is dead, as it says in James, but see, that's not works, okay? That's action. We have to live like we believe what the Bible says. In other words, otherwise your faith is not real, okay? And we live that way by faith through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that can work that in our lives, because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith anyway. It didn't come by us. We can't conjure up faith. It comes by Jesus. He's the author and finisher of faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And yet the fight is raging on in the church today, right now. It's raging on. The spirit and the law. The spirit and the law. Law versus grace. Grace versus law. The demons keep on trying to mix our theology up and mix a little law, a little grace, so we don't really live by grace. But you know what? Water and oil can't be mixed. Spirit and law can't be mixed. Faith and works of the old covenant can't be mixed. Today, receive because you believe, not because you're repenting for the whole world and all their sins, because after all, if I don't do that, I'm going to hell. You know, I could be anyway. I don't know, because I'm just not sure about my salvation, because I never know if I'm really pleasing God or not under this works thing. And yeah, right, you don't. Sins have been forgiven. We just received the finished work of Christ. He did it, and he sat down. He did it, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now because of the new covenant. We can do that, and we are there right now spiritually. Amen. And yet we're going to be there physically someday in our new spiritual body. But, you know, why don't you sit down with him and rule and reign through Christ until he comes, though? Why you got to go in this law stuff and be in bondage to that? Look, it says in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. See, only through Christ Jesus, only through grace, only through the new covenant could you have a new creature. For we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, things have become made new in our spirit. Our spirit's been born again. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. See, the Israel of God is us. We're the Israel of God because we're the one, whoever it is that received, you know, Christ Jesus is the Israel of God. Okay? So your sins have been forgiven. Receive the finished work just like he did. You know, he sat down at the right hand of Father. We sit down at the right hand of Jesus. Hallelujah. The new creature in Christ, not law-keeping, not old covenant lifestyle and living, not keeping the law and every jot tittle of the law. No, the sons of Abraham, the sons of God, the sons of love, that's who we are. Okay? Let me close with this one last scripture, and I'm going to move on. We got to do deliverance here. Philippians 3, we get to do deliverance here, not got to. For our conversation, that means our manner of life, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it should be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hallelujah. Therefore, my brethren, remember, no space between chapters. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. This is it, man. Our citizenship is in heaven now. They couldn't say that under the old covenant. Let's start acting like we're citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, citizens of liberty, not in bondage to the law. In fact, if you will, we are in the heavenly Jerusalem now in the spirit, because he said we're seated in heavenly places, if you will. I mean, the church of the Most High God is in the heavenly. As well, it's here physically on the earth, but we're seated right now spiritually in the heavenly, according to scripture, right? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've got some really good promises, don't we? And it's wonderful to know Jesus and be born again. It's wonderful to have Jesus in our lives and to really have had our eyes spiritually open, that we can see things that other people just don't see, because Only Jesus can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes where we could see the truth and see the reality of the kingdom of God and his love for us, how much he loves us. And really, the whole world really just wants to be loved, you know. But see, they don't know that that's really what they're searching for. Is they search everywhere, looking everywhere, trying to find it. They try Satanism. They try witchcraft. They try drugs, alcohol, everything under the sun. But the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and none of it will bring you satisfaction. None of it will, except Christ Jesus and totally giving your life over to him. That's the only satisfaction, the only place you're going to find satisfaction, full satisfaction. That's why, you know, they sing these songs, I can't get no satisfaction. Well, there isn't any satisfaction. The devil never satisfies his people. The flesh is never satisfied, no matter how much, you know, evil you give it, no matter how much you do to satisfy the flesh, it's never full, and it's never fully satisfied. No matter what you do, and it never will be. And so that's why people run around looking, trying to get satisfied. It never happens. Okay? Never happens. Only through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's take a few minutes. Father, we thank you for this word. Bless us with it, Lord, and help us to walk as New Testament believers today in this time and this hour that we are living in. Hallelujah. And I just gave that little gospel out because there's some people here that needed to hear that, right? So praise the Lord, they got to hear it. We'll be right back.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, and not in despair, not in
some people visit that were not holy there that in the chat room there. But so I did say a few things at the end to speak into their lives, and hopefully they will think about them. If not, well, that's their loss. Okay. Of course, you know, I thank Jesus for his salvation and his love for us. And he is good, and his mercies endure forever, don't they? Mm-hmm. All right, let's get rid of some of these spirits. Thank you for listening to the word tonight, and I hope that you heard the word, what it was saying to you, because it's so easy to slip and go back under the law and start feeling condemned and feeling like God is going to condemn us, and we're going to end up in hell, and so many feel like they've committed the unpardonable sin all the time, and That's just not a reality. See, they're being brought back under the old covenant devils that are trying to bring them under the law and bring it under the condemnation of the law, because the law has condemnation and it is administration of death. I mean, we just read all that, okay? All right, so let's get rid of that stuff tonight. Any religious spirits right now that are trying to bring you back under the law and keep you always concerned that you're not saved and concerned that you've lost your salvation, come out right now. Come out. All those spirits, go. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. All those religious spirits, all the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, those religious spirits, those legalistic spirits. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Come out of there. In Jesus' name, you got to go. Keep going. Move, 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 move. All those legalistic spirits, those religious spirits, come out. Come out right now. You got to go. All those spirits that tell you you've committed the unpardonable sin and there's no hope for you, come out. Come out, 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 come all the way out, up and out in Jesus' name, all the way out. You got to go. All those religious spirits, come out, come out, come out right now. All that legalism, all those spirits that try to put you back under the old covenant and make you think that's really where it's at, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. We rebuke you. The Lord rebukes you. Come out right now. All the way out. All the way out. Up and 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 out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep going. Up and out. Those spirits of tiredness. You come out. You try to spend time with God. You get tired and start going to sleep. Come out. We rebuke that. You come out, those spirits of tiredness. Come out in the name of Jesus. Loose them, and let them go. Come out, come out, come out, all that tiredness. Come out in the name of Jesus. This is one thing people need to know. When you go to study the Word, you're going to be attacked, okay? Whether it be with tiredness, sleepiness, or with a distracted mind, start thinking about everything under the sun but the Word of God. But, you know, when that happens, you just be determined that you're going to keep reading the Bible no matter what. You're going to spend time with Jesus, and you're going to read that Word. You're going to pray. No matter what, you're determined. And if you have to go back and read the same chapter 5 times before you get something out of it, keep doing it. Because the enemy resists the reading of the Word and the spending of time with Jesus. We have a resistance time where the enemy doesn't want you doing it, and if he can get you distracted, he will do it, okay? But still, if there's tiredness there, we want to get it out, so come out of there. All that tiredness, go, 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 every bit of it in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out, 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 tiredness all the way out. Go, 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 up and out, up and out, up and out. We bind you, we break your hold. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out, every bit of it, all that sleepiness, come out, all that sleepiness, come out, going to sleep, come out, 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 up and out of there, all that sleepy spirit, sleepiness, come out, 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 in Jesus' name, all the way out. Up and out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, go, go. Brain fog, too. All the way out, all the brain fog. I rebuke that brain fog. Come out, 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 come out. Up and out of there, all that brain fog. You got to go. In the name of Jesus, loosen and let them go. All the way out. Brain fog. We rebuke that brain fog. Come out. Come out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Yeah, I have read the same chapter before over and over again. Because I said, devil, you're not winning on this. Try to put all these other thoughts, things you have to do that day, or what's happening in so-and-so's life, how you're going to fix that situation and help them. You know, you're a pastor, you already help so-and-so. All these distractive thoughts. See, and here I am having my morning time with Jesus, and I get those thoughts. See, I said, devil, you're not winning. I'm going to read this chapter over and over as long, as many times as it takes until I get something powerful spiritually out of it. And I do. And I do get something, too, because I'm not letting him win. I'm not letting him distract me that way. So we come against the spirits of distraction, too, right now. In the name of Jesus, those spirits of distraction, you come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, spirit of distraction. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Those people, let them go all the way out. All that distraction, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way out. The spirits of distraction try to distract you and try to cause your mind to wander all over the place. See, that's an attack of the enemy. Recognize that when you want to spend time with Jesus and your mind starts wandering, you realize, hey, that's the enemy attacking me. I recognize that. This is spiritual warfare going on. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. And really, folks, life is spiritual warfare. So realize it's going to, you know, it's not always just going to be easy to read the Bible and spend time in prayer talking to Jesus and Father. And so, yeah, when we recognize that, then we're ready for war, and we can have a holy determination to get through. And we do, of course, because, you know, persistence, by the power of the Spirit of God, we are persistent and we will, you know, get the blessing. Come out of there. Go all the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Spirit of hard to concentrate. Inability to concentrate. Hard to focus. You come out of there right now. Come out. 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 Hard to concentrate. You come out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose the people. Let them go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Keep coming out. Up and out. Up and out of there. Hard to concentrate. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out. 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 Come out all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, you have to go all the way out. Mind blanking out, you come out. The mind blanks, runs blank, you come out of there. We rebuke that spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, crushed heart, sorrowful heart, you come out of there. Come on, all the way out. You have a crushed or sorrowful heart, come out. Come on, in Jesus' name, that means soul, because obviously our spirit is not crushed. Jesus is there. So it's talking about a crushed soul, a sorrowful, wounded soul. Come out of there right now. Come on, all that sorrowful soul, come out. Made your soul sorrowful and crushed it. Come out of there right now. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. All that sorrowful spirit, sorrowful soul, come out in Jesus' name. Go, sorrowful, crushed soul, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That emotional trauma, come out. Emotional trauma, you are traumatized emotionally, come out. Come out all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Your abuse, the spirit of abuse, come out. Come on, abused emotionally, come out. That emotional abuse, come out, come out, come out. Emotional abuse can be as bad as physical abuse. Might not hurt physically as much, but it's still abuse. Come out, that emotional abuse, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep moving all the way out. Emotional abuse, go. Right now, emotional abuse. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that emotional abuse, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. all the way out. In Jesus' name, you've got to go, demons. All that emotional abuse, all that abused spirits, all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, get all the way out. Keep going. All abuse of any kind, physical, emotional, go. Get going. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, hurt by Father. Come out, hurt by Father. Come out right now, hurt by Father, your earthly Father. Come out all the way, hurt by Father. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name, hurt by Father. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out, 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 all the way out. Hurt by Father. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Let's get them out now. All the way out. You got to go. Get them out. Up and out of there. All that hurt by Father. All the way out. Deep hurt. Deep hurt by Father. Come out. 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 All the way out. Humiliated by Father. Come out. Come on. All the way out. You were humiliated by your earthly father. Come out, 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 come out. Or you were crushed by your earthly father. Come out, 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 come out. A lot of people are never able to feel worthy enough for their earthly father because they could never please their earthly father or mother. One guy just said his mother was mean as anything to him all his growing up years. And so, yeah, so you don't know. It could be the man, the dad or mom you never felt you could measure up. Therefore, they're very, very hard to get out from under condemnation and out from under the law because of the way you were raised. And therefore, you think that our heavenly father is like your earthly father, you know, or your mother. It's hard to see God as a forgiving, loving God that's not out to punish you or make you suffer, but really he suffered for us so that we don't have to suffer. Now we might suffer ourselves because of the things we do. I've said that before, and it's so true. We can cause ourselves to suffer by the things we do. That you know, it just causes the enemy to have an open door to make us suffer, and that's why some people are suffering and they're blaming God for their suffering because God didn't have anything to do with it. Fear of disapproval, come out. Fear of disapproval, fear that you're always going to be disapproved by God. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. I'm glad to hear that you appreciate the message, What If. And we certainly do have messages, CDs and books available on the website if you want to get them. They are all a bargain, because we haven't raised our prices when everybody else is raising prices, but we'll sell the stock we have and at the prices we have, but until we have to buy more stock. So they're available for those who want to order. Also, please feel free to support the ministry through PayPal on the website, theoasiscommunitychurch.com. Because a lot of people listen but never have given anything, but I don't mind. I mean, you know, that's up to you. I'm not trying to, you know, take up an offering or anything, but I'm just letting you know it is, you can give and you can be blessed for your giving if you choose to. I don't put pressure on anybody to give. I don't take up offerings every week. I don't even mention it most of the time, but I just thought, well, maybe I'm doing you a disservice. I should let you know that you can give, or you can mail it in to P.O. Box 50162 in Billings, Montana, 59105, which we may be having a minute moving of the ministry soon, but as of right now, that address is still good. So praise the Lord. So keep coming out of there. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, feeling like you could never be worthy enough, that you could never do enough. Come out, all the way out, feeling unworthy. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. All that unworthy feeling that you're never worthy enough. God made you worthy. You're worthy before God, see, because he made you that way. He clothed you with the robe of righteousness. But still, that condemnation is there. you know, and you're still feeling like you have to perform to please him, and because you had to perform to please your parents. After all, God surely can't be any different than them. That's my picture of a father, and it hadn't been the best one. So, you know, surely God is that way too. Come out of there, all the way out, feeling like the blame is always put on you. Come out. Come on, all that blame. Come out. The spirit of blame, feeling like it's always being put on you. The blame is on you. Come out. 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 All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. The blood of Jesus against that blame spirit. Come out. Always have to feel like you're receiving the blame. It's always your fault. Come out. That spirit that says it's always your fault. Even if somebody else does something bad and you're standing there, you feel like, oh, they're going to think I'm that way. It's my fault that I did that. I did something like that, or I'm like that. Come out. Go. Always your fault. Come out. Come out. That spirit always telling people it's your fault. Always your fault. Come out. Come out. The bad things happen to somebody else, well, it's your fault. You know, bad things happen to your family member, that was your fault. Come out. All the way out. All that demon that tells people that. You go in Jesus' name. You are a liar, and you have to come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, liar. Come out, liar. Come out, liar. Come out, liar. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go in Jesus' name. You have to move, have to move. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, all the way up and out of there, all the way out in Jesus' name. That the spirit of indecision, you come out. Indecision, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Indecisive spirit, come out. Can't make a decision, and then you worry you make the wrong one when you do make one. Come out, come out. Indecision, go in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. Come all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance that we received tonight. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for a time of deliverance tonight. And we pray for that lost person that tuned in and got in the chat room. Lord, we pray they get convicted and they get born again and they get saved. And Lord, that you will turn them away from darkness into your marvelous light, Father, that they will come unto you, Lord, and cry out for the living God. Father, we pray for all our other lost loved ones that we know and we care about and we want to see saved. Lord, save them too, Lord. We pray that you bring them to salvation, Lord. We pray for their salvation. We pray that they'll get right with you, Jesus, and come to the true knowledge of salvation and become a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we appreciate y'all being here today. Hope that you enjoyed everything and got ministered to and encouraged in the Lord, and that you're enjoying the end of summer. Hopefully it's still warm where you're at, and you've enjoying these start-to-be fall-like days, at least it is in Montana and Wyoming. So, yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that, brother. Thank you. Thank you both. And good to see all three of you there tonight. And Lord bless each one of you. And may your life be full of Jesus every day. And we love each every one of you. And thank you for tuning tonight and being a part of this online church service here, the radio church service. And so we're going to see you back next Friday night and hope to see you all there, and that you have good reports of what the Lord is doing in your life. All right. Good night. All right, folks. I want to tell you all good night, and you'll have a blessed weekend in Christ Jesus, our wonderful and glorious Savior. And may he encourage you every day. You find that encouragement in him. Look for him. He's there, and he's a very present help in trouble. The Bible says if you're facing some trouble in your life, realize he's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can know that he doesn't lie. He means what he says what he means. So thank God he's there. Amen. Thank God he's there all the time. And, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord, too. Just spend some time with him and encourage yourself. Let him bless you. All right. Well, good night, dear ones. We'll see you back next week.